Here we go, John DeBella Show, Daily Podcast, Wednesday morning, January 26th. We started out by hearing about a plow naming contest out in Minnesota, a case of mistaken identity, and a two-vagina girl. Yeah, you heard me. Neil Young has picked a fight with Joe Rogan, bringing much irony to his song The Needle and the Damage Done. Song Stories today featured Crocodile Rock. We celebrated National Spouses Day, spun the wheel of WoW, and talked to Elton John, Speak of the Devil. Well, no, we didn't speak to Elton. We spoke to his musical director and longtime guitarist, Davey Johnstone. Plus, heard a story about Pete Townsend's adventure with a Lifehouse song. Have a listen. Enjoy. It's the Daily Podcast.
I got to hand it to Adam Joseph, because last night on the news, he said, there are so many different scenarios of how much snow we're getting. I'm not going to mention any of them.
Good for him.
Yeah, you know? He's great.
A realist.
Because they're not sure. Well, because it's another like nor'easter coming up the coast. It's probably going to hit the coast of New Jersey a lot more than it's going to hit us. Probably going to be just like the last one.
Okay.
Right? You know, it's not like
a little dusting, maybe.
It's not like Minnesota. Minnesota, by the way, which gets more snow than we could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. All right. They had a contest to name MDOT is their Department of Transportation.
Okay.
They do all the snow plowing.
Right.
And they had a contest to name their snow plows.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
If it's not on the list, don't tell me the story.
All right. So there's eight different districts. So each one got a named snow plow. One got, just got a plow right past you. A duck, duck, orange truck. All right.
Stupid Bunyan. Stupid.
Okay. Right. Okay, it's getting better.
Snowbee 1 Kenobi.
Okay, it's getting better.
F. Salt Fitzgerald.
It's okay.
Darth Blader.
All right.
The truck formerly known as Plow.
All right, little Prince reference.
Well, it's Minnesota after all. And of course, Plowy McPlowface. I was saving that for last, so you just had a better be there.
The John DeBella Podcast.
A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
102.9.
I have no bird. I have no bush. God has taken my bird and my bush.
MGK.
There's a lawsuit that has been going on in Nevada over a mistaken identity case that could have been avoided by looking. Okay.
All right. I need some more detail.
A year ago, a guy named Shane Lee Brown, who's 25, beardless, black, was arrested on a warrant found in his name during a traffic stop. The warrant was for Shane Neil Brown, who is 50 years old, has a beard, blue eyes, and is white.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Still, the younger Brown spent 6 days in jail and was eventually never charged. He's now seeking $500,000 in punitive damage, and I hope he gets it. I got a text from somebody. You know, people are texting in for the Wheel of WoW, and if you got a WoW song, you can text it now to MGK. That's 645-645. But one of the texts came in and said, I didn't see George Harrison's All Things Must Pass on the double albums list. That's because it's a triple album.
Woo!
All right. The triple albums didn't make it. We're just dealing with the double albums. But if you don't know about this, you know, February is just a little over a week away. And in February, we always have an MGK countdown, usually 20 different things. And this time it's going to be double albums, whether it's The Wall or Physical Graffiti for you, whatever it might be. You can go to WMGK.com, put in your choices. You get five different choices, don't you?
Yeah.
Five different drop-down screens. Just pick the five that you believe are the best. We'll tally them all up. And then starting on February 1st, we'll start counting them down right here on MGK. Speaking of things in twos, all right. There's a woman in Australia, and now look. Some folks might be sensitive to this story because it's going to deal with lady parts.
Okay.
And not only will I say hoo ha, but I may even say the V word. All right. So I know it's shocking for some people.
Vassalotti.
And that's it. Vassalotti. Well, it seems that genetics have given Evelyn Miller a niche, right? A career and an interesting source of pleasure. The 31-year-old Australian woman was born with not one, but two hoo-has.
Oh, my Lord.
What?
Imagine the possibilities.
And she's turned that into her lucrative career on OnlyFans.
Of course.
Not shocking.
All right. She's pulling in $75,000 a month.
Good for you, girl.
Yeah, more power to her.
$33,000
each. To her. Emphasize to
her. To her, right. All right. She said she didn't know what was going on in her body until she was about 20 years old, and still it's not all double the fun.
Until 20?
I don't know. Maybe
come
she,
on.
I,
but late that's, development.
That's what she says.
Okay.
All right. You know, if we think about it, when you have two of them, everything is double, because she has two wombs also.
Oh, my God.
All right. Wow. So that's double the STTs, STD tests. That's double the feminine products. It's double the visits to the OBGYN.
Where was this girl when the double mint gum commercials were on?
And get this, she says that sex feels different depending on which hoo-ha is in action.
Oh, all right, now, okay. Now I have so many questions.
No, okay, don't start right. on that side. Start on the other.
There's one left. She's pregnant in one of them.
Oh, my God. That's insane. You could have, like, an eight-month-old baby inside you and, like, a four-month on the other side.
Right, exactly. She says she doesn't want to find out what having two babies inside her at once is going to be like. It will just totally destroy her body. What do you see what one does? I think this is appropriate.
To vagina girl. To vagina girl.
I think I must be dreaming. To vagina girl. I feel it bears repeating. To vagina girl. Is she twice as hard to I can't help wonder. I'm seeing double when I look down under. Oh, 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 to vagina girl.
Cindy's joining us now, still trying to get over the a woman with two hoo-has. Right?
I don't know if I'll ever get over that.
Well, here's the part that really... she was 20 when she began to realize what was going on. I mean, isn't there a point in which you go, hey, Mom, right, what's going on here?
Right. At what point do you start going to the doctor, like the gynecologist? They would say something.
Yeah,
some girls develop late, guys.
Excuse me, ma'am.
No, no, not an organ.
You think that would have been apparent when he was born?
Right, yeah, you
know. Yeah. Who knows? We'll never know.
Good question. Yeah.
I can sign up to OnlyFans and probably DM her. It's probably a perk.
Show. We'll use it. What's our the hell of the money that we have for the show is? What's that called? We'll use that.
Budget.
That's the word budget. Well, we barely have one, so I don't always think of the word budget.
Right.
We'll use the show budget for that. Bill will allow it.
Right. Yeah. Well, give me an idea of how our budget works. In order to get money out of our budget, we have to return soda bottles. Right. So here's an ancient reference.
The John DeBella Podcast.
You are crazy in the most wonderful way.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
This is the funnest night ever.
102.9 MGK.
All right, there's a fight that's brewing. You're going to love this one. All right. And the fight is between Neil Young, Joe Rogan, and Spotify.
Oh, yeah,
it's a three. It's a three-way fight. Neil Young is fed up with Joe Rogan's stance on vaccinations.
Okay.
Right? He wrote an open letter to Spotify demanding that they either dump Joe or pull all of his music from their streaming service. I think that his music is going to be going away.
See you later, Neil.
Really?
See ya.
Right, Neil? Right. Didn't they give Rogan like $11 million or something?
No, they gave him $100 million.
$100 million.
The $11 million is how many people tune in to every podcast.
Right, yeah.
Podcast.
So something tells Neil probably doesn't have 11 million listens on Spotify.
I think you know what? You might be right. You might be right. All right. But he says the letter has been removed from his website. But he is singing about it. Yeah.
Hey, hey, JoJo. Your opinion's got to go. I want you to tap out.
The John DeBella Podcast, Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK. know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
This is an amazing story in the fact that how long it took for Elton John to get a number one hit. All right? We're going to do a Crocodile Rock this morning. It comes from Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player. Later on this morning, Davy Johnstone, Elton John's guitarist and musical director, is going to be joining us. But it wasn't until Crocodile Rock that Elton John had a number one hit single in America.
Whoa.
All right? It's absolutely amazing. So songs like Your Song from the Elton John album, Nothing from Empty Sky, which was really his first album. Then the one that we really knew in this country was the Elton John album with the Border song on it and Your Song, right? Nope, nothing there, right? Tumbleweed Connection, Amarina, Made Little was the one song that maybe most people would know. Didn't really get much of anywhere. Then Mad Mad Across the Water, Tiny Dancer, and Levon are on that album. Doesn't make it to number one. No single makes it to number one. Honky Chateau, Rocket Man, Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters, and Honky Cat, right? They're all on that album. Wow. None of them make it to number one. Daniel, right? Daniel does make it to number one, but it doesn't make it to number one until after Crocodile Rock. Crocodile Rock is Elton John's first number one song. And the way Bernie Taupin talks about it, it was just like a little piece of fluff.
There's nothing really to say about that. It was kind of a nice, harmless piece of fluff that I pulled out of the air. I think with Elton, we went through a sort of teeny bop period. There was a couple of albums, especially Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player. And that was sort of our glam rock period in England when we were sort of contemporaries with people like T-Rex and Slade and Sweet and all those bands, and everybody was wearing really horrible clothes.
The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By the way, I'm not sure how one would celebrate this, but it's National Spouses Day.
All right, cool.
All right, so
I like
so,
mine.
So yeah, I like mine too. You like yours?
She's great.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Sin?
Yep.
You like him?
It's right. Okay.
You're gonna keep
selling
him?
Cindy.
I think so. After all these years.
Right,
wow, really selling it.
Right. Well, although 44% of us admit that our spouse gets on our nerves.
I mean,
that's
sure.
It,
yeah, of course.
I think it'd be over half.
Of course. 45% of married couples usually celebrate Valentine's Day in one way or another. 80% say it's a bigger deal before they were married than it is now, though. 16% say they argue with their spouses on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Only 16? Come on.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. Yeah, I never do, but.
Right.
Yeah.
10% of married people say they love their spouse, but sometimes wish they could be single again to experience dating one more time.
No. I wouldn't know what to do back in the dating pool.
Right.
Do I swipe
because dating
left
in 2022 is so easy also. You know, you can end up dating then nowadays got to be hard.
Oh, brutal.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. 17% and agree with the statement, my spouse is a slob.
Wow.
I can't tell you that. My wife probably considers me a slob.
Although,
because her OCD is so off the charts.
Right. You leave your socks out.
You know, there's
you're a straight
no
up
way.
Slob.
There's no way. But, you know, we all appreciate each other, but there are signs. And I can only speak on behalf of men. I can't speak on behalf of women. But, ladies, there are signs out there that your husband is a keeper.
Right.
There are multiple signs out there that your husband is a geek.
You want to ask Dave?
Is it amazing?
I think
how
it's
many
your turn.
Is it my turn finally?
Right.
After the last five times? Five. That's an interesting number.
Oh. Five.
Could there possibly be five reasons?
There are five reasons that your husband is a keeper. All right.
I know how to bet.
I bet you Cindy will agree with every one of these. Right?
I'm sure.
Right. He kept the receipt for every gift he's ever bought you. That way you can return it.
Of course.
Ah.
Okay. He knows to put the shampoo on the floor and leave the shower caddy to you.
Okay. I mean.
All right.
I guess What? I don't even have a shower cap.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't have one either.
When you diet, so does he. Unless there's French fries involved, and then it's all bets are off.
Yep.
All right. He's missing the tip of his tongue from biting it every time you ask if you think she could still fit into her prom dress.
What?
All right. And number one on the list, he does that thing that lets you achieve an incredible orgasm in the bedroom, which is leave the bedroom.
That's brutal.
The John DiBella Podcast.
I'm a man who likes to talk and sing with children.
102.9 MGK.
Yep, it's the big old wheel wow right here at MGK. And the wheel is set up and has been readjusted today because we decided, I came in this morning and said, you know what? Haven't been getting any luck with the listener picks where they are. Mm-hmm. Let's move the listener picks to a couple of different squares. There's four of them up there, all right, and see if we do any better this week. On the wheel this week, still got the Stones, Can You Hear Me Knockin'? New on the wheel is Tears for Fears, Shout. The Steve Miller Band is in there, Living in the USA, Bowie, Life on Mars, Split Ends, I Got You. Somebody keeps texting in for that, but it's on the wheel. Robert Palmer's Sneaking Sally Through the Alley and a whole lot more. Anything in particular you're looking toward?
Games Without Frontiers. Last week I had Our House, and that's what I wanted.
So okay,
I'm going back to games.
What about you?
Give me Sally.
Sally Sneaking Sally Through the Alley? Yeah. I wouldn't mind Shout or Life on Mars. That would be nice. You know, I'm happy with any of the songs that's up there. So give that wheel a spin, Steve, and let's see what we come up with this time. Big old spin. Will it be the listener pick? Come on, listener pick. There it goes. It's going past, going past, going past, going past. And what?
Whoa!
Wow, it didn't. Did it not flip over?
It didn't click. No, that's staying where it is.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? This is, I love this song. I've always loved this song. And I am happy to tell you that the song for the Wheel of Wow this morning comes from the Electric Light Orchestra and Turn to Stone.
The John DiBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
He's put out his first solo record in years, and it's called Deeper Than My Roots. It'll be available February 3rd. He is the musical director and guitarist for Elton John's band. Davey Johnstone is with us. Hiya, Davey.
Hey, what's up, John?
We've been waiting years to talk to you again. That's what's up.
Before Elton's farewell tour.
Right. The last time we spoke to you, Elton was just starting the farewell tour.
My God, who knows when this thing is ever going to end? I think it's going to be the never-ending farewell tour.
Yep.
Great talking to you guys again. Yeah, it started in 2018, and you know, we got halted with COVID right about March of 2020. So nothing until then. I haven't worked, you know, with Elton since then. We've talked all the time, but I haven't seen the guy actually physically for almost 2 years.
Are you on that lockdown record?
Oh no, this is very much his own kind of thing, and he wanted to work with very high profile, you know, like Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa, and you know, Dua's wonderful. I adore her anyway. And no, this is purely his project with various different producers. And God bless him, it's going very well for him.
Now, this album, there isn't a Johnstone you know who isn't on this record. Right? You've got five of your kids working on this album.
Actually, I think it might be. Yeah, you're right, it's five total. And then my daughter, Juliet, doing the artwork. But yeah, it's been amazing. I kind of press ganged all my kids into doing it and bribed them in various ways. And they're all they're super talented. And, you know, the fact that nothing was really going on was a perfect opportunity for me to do something for myself, but also to do it with my very talented kids. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience for all of us.
Every one of your kids is in some way, shape, or form in the music biz. Elliot is the lead singer on most of the album. Charlie is doing background vocals, right?
Yeah, background vocals, keyboards, and he mixed a couple of the tracks. He mixed like about three, four of the songs.
All right. Jesse is playing drums.
That's right. Jesse did the drums. The album was done very much like COVID style. you know, been able to see too many people. But I was able to get my brother Nigel Olsen over to the studio in order to play his drums on Melting Snow, which was awesome. And the only other guest really is Denny Sywell on drums on a few tracks. And Denny, as you probably know, played with Paul McCartney and Wings.
Wings for years, yeah. When you joined Elton John's band, was Dee Murray still alive?
Oh, yeah. No, Dee and I were very much brothers for many years. The original band, when I joined, see, I played with Elton first in 1970 as a session player on Madman Across the Water.
Right.
And in those days, Dee and Nigel didn't actually play on the albums. Gus Dudgeon, the wonderful producer, preferred to use his kind of own studio cats. Mm-hmm. And then when I joined, when Elton asked me to join the band in 72, which is 50 years ago, which is crazy. Then the four of us went to the Chateau in France to do Rocket Man and several tracks like that. And we subsequently did Don't Shoot Me, Yellow Brick Road, and all these classic albums, Captain Fantastic. And that was all done by myself, Elton, Dee Murray, and Nigel Olsen. Dee passed away, I want to say 93, unfortunately. But no, we played together all through the 80s as well. I mean, God bless him. He was the most amazing bass player.
Davey, is it true that the first time you picked up an electric guitar was at the behest of Elton?
Well, that's a great story. It plays very well. To be totally honest, you know, I got, like most kids who play guitar, I insisted on my folks helping me buy an electric guitar when mm-hmm. I was like 11 years old. So, no, I played, like, learning all the Beatles and Stones riffs and stuff when I was 11 and 12 years old. And I stopped playing electric because I really got into some serious folk guitar picking, and then mandolin and sitar and other instruments I wanted to learn when I turned 15. So I kind of put the electric guitar to bed for 4 or 5 years. So essentially, it's true, but I didn't really get deep into it until I joined out.
When I say musical director, you know, I understand what that means, you know, but most people look at you and you're the guitar player in the band. But as the musical director, you're basically the guy who deals with every other musician who's going to be on that stage and basically making sure that Elton's wishes are met, correct?
Absolutely, right on. I mean, that's the whole point. And the other thing is the fact that when I rehearse with the band, see, I've hired most of the band, all of the band, in fact, over the years when we've, you know, tragically maybe lost a member, in the case of Guy Babylon and then later Bob Birch, I had to find replacements who would work for the band. And usually I'd find them in California because I live in California. Mm-hmm. And it's my responsibility to get the best players. I've been doing that for him since the mid-80s, really, when right about the Live Aid period, when things started to change, where we didn't have, when Dee and Nigel were let go for a second time, it became my responsibility to put the bands together. And you know what? It's great that Elton trusts me so much to do that. And, you know, we're close friends, so all these guys are top of the line, as you probably know. And, it's been a great experience for me to do that, and I'm still doing it.
Elton is well known for his generosity on Christmas gifts. What's the best you ever got from him? What is your favorite Christmas gift you ever got from Elton?
Let me see. In 1974 or 5, he gave me a Rembrandt.
Oh,
yeah. What? So, he's a bit extravagant. Pardon me. Yeah, he's crazy at times, you know, and God bless him. It was a limited edition Rembrandt etching, and, you know, it's still one of my prized possessions.
Isn't that the same thing he gave Rod Stewart?
He gave Rod Stewart
when
Rembrandt
Rod Stewart
also
gave him a refrigerator.
I think Rod gave him an umbrella back or something.
And, well, what did you get? The question then is, Davey, what did you get Elton to compare to the Rembrandt?
Right.
God, I can't remember. It was something very insignificant in those days.
One of your daughter's drawings.
I was 23 years old, and much more low profile than Elton. I've always managed to keep myself more profile than him, which hasn't been too hard.
No, not at all. Davey Johnstone from Elton John's band is our guest. Elton John and Davey will be here in July. Hey, Davey, if we can get a guitar backstage to you, we do this event every year to raise money for the veterans. If we can get a guitar backstage to you, would you autograph it for us?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll make sure that that happens. Thank you so much for your time. The album is called Deeper Than My Roots. It has all of the John Stones on it, including Davey.
The John DeBella Podcast, Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
I read an article the other day. Pete sounds, you know, there was a project that Pete did, you know, after Quadrophenia, Lifehouse. And this is something he worked on for a real long time. And it wasn't going anywhere as an album, and a lot of the better songs became part of Who's Next. All right. Well, the anniversary of that album was technically last year. They didn't get around to getting that done, so they're going to do something now. And the record company has been all over Pete because they found this track called Ambition that already has Keith Moon on it. It's got John Entwistle on it, and they wanted to make this an added thing. Right? And Pete was like, no, you know, like that project's dead. He's working on it as a book with a ghostwriter, right? Right. Mm. You know, Lifehouse. But as far as a musical project, it's over and done with. The record company's, no, this would be so great. We can get Roger to come in. He can put the vocals on it, and we just finally produce the song. So Pete, you know, relents and goes in and produces a song, brings it back to the company, and they go, oh, this isn't very good.
Oh, no. Oh, after all that?
And to which Pete goes, I told you the song was crap to begin with, which is why I didn't use it in the first place.
The John DeBella Podcast.
It's like squishing a spider under a book.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
It's going to be really gross, but I have to look and make sure that it's really dead.
102.9 MGK.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.